Good evening. Thanks for being on time. We are privileged. Today we're doing something we've never done before. Sharon is shaking her head. We're doing baptism. I've never done this before my whole life. But that's life, right? You want to do something that is new, that builds faith. So I think we're also privileged. I want the cell leaders to come forward and sit here. TG, come and sit forward. Royston, come. Gunn, come please as well. We want to send a signal. Clarissa, can you just come forward? Just sit around in the front two rows or whatever you. So that as we really appreciate them. So today we are going to baptize three people. Wilson, Joey, and Madam Chua. I hesitate to call Madam Chua auntie because I myself am not very far from her in terms of age. I call you Madam Chua. We call you auntie as if I'm very young like that. That's not true. But I was thinking about what should I just say before we come. I told them that when we come before the Lord today, I only got two questions for you. I'll ask Madam Chua, and your answer must be yes to me. Once you say no, I say sorry, we cannot carry on. I'll ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Your answer should be yes, right? And thereafter, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore you accept Him as your personal Savior? I look at people like Wilson. Wilson, I heard stories about you, man. Come again? Stories about you. Whatever I heard about you is whatever I don't see now. What I see now is a man touched by God. I hear people like you want to help out in the children's service so kepo until that actually it's your wife's turn to do. You just tell your wife, you go and sit down there and listen. Let me do it. And I hear you've been clearing rubbish every week. Did you? The wife say every week, every year, at the end of it, she will move the rubbish, clear the rubbish, and then he'll pack everything. I also clear rubbish in the law firm, but I get paid for that. I'm not sure whether you get paid to do rubbish, not do rubbish, to clear rubbish. But I'm so touched. But when God touches us, the whole world changes, isn't it? Don't pray for God to touch. Not that you shouldn't. No need to pray for God to touch someone else. Touch yourself first. And then when God touch you, somehow the surrounding circumstances change. Isn't that the beauty of God? So I welcome those people who are here, your auntie pantry ladies here from St. Andrew's, the church. As you come before the Lord, it is a privilege for people like us, Phyllis, for me to baptize someone. YouTube Live, I don't know where you are from, you're watching this. I am very touched. This is God's grace. Then here, when we go and do house blessing last week, someone was so touched and they say, can you also do my house blessing? And they say they want to visit our church. I don't control such things, but when God touches you, things move. Isn't that what I want to see in the lives of the people? My favorite author, C.S. Lewis, to me, 67 times smarter than me. This is what he says. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. I say it one more time. I'm ready to accept Jesus, some people say, not you. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept him to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. C.S. Lewis says, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. You all know what Jesus said, right? He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he will be the devil of hell. You must make a choice. Either this man was, Joey Winston. Very good, Don. Very useful, sitting in front. I can see you. You sit behind, you say, Wilson, Winston, I can't see a thing. Madam Chua, either you say today, not he's a madman or something worse. You can either shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. Jesus never gave us that option, Owen. He did not intend to. I wish someone would told me that. Someone, you know, tell Royston, you know, Royston's a good man, but Royston's a good man, good teacher. There's no one who claimed to be God. Only Jesus did. He never claimed to be a great moral teacher. Either this man was as the Son of God, if not nothing else. So with that, I want to encourage you as I come forward. I'm going to invite Madam Chua to come. And Malcolm, please translate. Translate properly. Yeah. Like Madam Chua, 坐下. Some water, we're going to baptize her with water baptism. 我问你两个问题啦, 我讲英文啦, otherwise you feel useless. Do you, Madam Chua, do you accept Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And because Jesus is Son of God, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
需要翻译吗?
Yes.
Double confirm吗? Come, can I just pray for you? Okay, let's put yourself in so don't get wet. And because of your declaration, Madam Chua, in the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, we baptize you. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. The Lord set you apart to receive all the blessing He has for your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for this life. And I apply the anointing oil upon you, Madam Chua, so that you know that you're set apart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Bye. Hey, why you run away? Oh, next one. Come, TJ. Be useful. TJ, come. Joey. Ladies first. Handphone don't. Yours iPhone, what? Others get wet, spoil. Bye. Just stand here. Yeah. Yeah. Change life. Has your wife changed? A lot. Have you changed? A lot. Last time you never clear rubbish. Blah, blah. Really clear. Joey, can I just ask you, do you believe Jesus to be the Son of God? And because you believe Jesus, Son of God, would you accept Jesus to be your personal Savior, Lord of your life? And because of your declaration, TJ and I have this privilege as we lay hands upon you to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. More water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for Joey. Lord, release your anointing upon her life. I pray for you, even as you take off your glasses, ironically, your spiritual eyes will open up and you will do the work of the kingdom. Father, thank you. Your life will be a testimony to many, even to your friends who are here for the first time. As they see you do this, Lord, we baptize her, a water baptism, but we anoint her with oil, and we know that, Lord, this lady will be marked out for success. I see the word success. Lord, use her for your glory, so that, Lord, through Joey's life, many people will touch, and many people will come to the kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Ishii, thanks. I asked my wife to come. Come. Winston. Winston, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And because you believe that He's the Son of God, will you accept Him as the Lord and Savior of your life? So the declaration, Winston, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know the Word of God says that, behold, you are now a new creation. Sink deep into your spirit. Fill your hearts and your minds. Lord, take away anything that is not of you. Bless him. And Lord, as I just lay and put the anointing upon his forehead, Father, thank you. Mark Winston, my brother, to be the head of the house, so that with Joey and the three sons, they will do the work of the kingdom. Lord, they will help to clear rubbish in the kingdom so that many people will know the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, thank you. Bless this man. We have seen changes, more to come, so that, Lord, he will be a splitting image of God in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, yeah. How come you do? I thought it's the pretty one. Oh, kidding. 'Cause this is the third man. This is Madam Chua. I give Madam Chua. Come, Madam Chua, I have a cert for you. Come. Need to take picture, not? Yes. Yeah. Come, Gan, come, stand beside me. Be useful. Come. Like. Yeah. Thank you. Next, we have a gift. Yeah. The towel also you can keep. It's a gift. Yeah. Joy. Together. What a lovely. My goodness, you're really changing. God is good. Come, do them, couple. Thank you so much. Can you all stand before the Lord? Actually, with this, actually can know you preach the presence of God, guys. I'm doing it for the first time. I really, Dawn, do you feel the presence of God? Doesn't matter if you get the person's name wrong, because God knows. But I'm just so touched.
Let's worship the Lord with this song. This song speaks about, you know, when we call on the Lord, He will answer us and He will catch us when we fall.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star of who I am.
Father, thank you as we come before you, as we bring this service to you. How apt this song, talking about who am I, as we search for our identity in God. Father, we thank you that, Lord, I am only a flower quickly fading today, here, but gone tomorrow to the better place. And we'll meet all of us again up there, face to face in the heavens, and those who have gone before us, we'll see them there. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, catch me when I'm falling. You have told me who I am, and our identity is found in Him. We are His. So, Father, we thank you as we undergird this service and this whole series of service on the element of identity. May we recognize our kinship. We recognize that we are yours. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You be seated. Thank you. God bless you. As we come to the second part of our sermon series on identity, you can still sit where you are. No need to just go away. Just sit where you are. Praise God. I wanted to just say that I got our friend Mr. on the concept of identity, and today I want to bring the first C to you, and we talk about the word consciousness. All right, the word is consciousness. Now, Hong Yi did something which is quite interesting, and I'll see whether I'll just ask a question and see whether we can go anywhere. Go. Why don't you turn to someone, turn to your wife or whoever's beside you, and ask the person, "What is consciousness?" Can you turn to somebody? What is consciousness? Quickly, what is consciousness? Anybody? What is consciousness? Tawei, Phyllis, Jonathan, Cindy, whoever. What is consciousness? Quickly? Well done. Clarissa, what's consciousness? I almost wanted to say, are you a civil servant? I asked you, they say, according to what? I asked you what? Yeah, my goodness. Next time, remind me not to sit beside you. I want to just tell you a conversation that John Lennox, we had a privilege of meeting Gunn and I in London when we went up. This is what John Lennox had to say when he did a scientific seminar. As a scientist, I must confess, he found these people's thinking of philosophy very strange. He gave a lecture on science and God. John Lennox gave a lecture on science and God to a large group of scientists at a major research establishment. He was then pleasantly accosted by a physicist who said, This physicist went to John Lennox and said, he said to John Lennox, "I deduce from your lecture that you not only believe in God, you believe that Jesus was simultaneously God and human." And then this person, he thought he very young. He asked John Lennox, "How can you, John Lennox, as a scientist, explain that?" Meaning explain that Jesus was both God and human. So this is John Lennox's reaction. He asked him a question as a quick poll quote. He said, "I regard this as a simpler question. I suggest you answer this first, okay?" And the guy who asked him the first question agreed. So John Lennox asked him, "What is consciousness?" he asked. And the guy turned to him and says, "We don't really know." Clarissa, that's the answer. The answer is not according to Jasmine. "What is consciousness?" I asked. He says, "We don't really know." He responded. John Lennox asked, "Never mind, then let's try something even simpler. What is energy?" Owen, maths teacher, science teacher, whatever teacher you call yourself, "What is energy?" The person who asked John Lennox says, "Well," he replied, "we have equations governing it. We can measure it and use it." John Lennox turned and said, and that's always what I say, "That wasn't my question. My question is, what is energy? I didn't ask you for an equation. I'm asking you, what is energy?" After some thought, the guy said, "We don't really know." I then said, "Do you believe in consciousness and in energy?" The guy said, "Yes," he said. "So you believe in them and then you don't know what they are. Should I write you off as a physicist?" "Please don't," the guy pleaded. And then John Reynolds responded, "Yet you are prepared to write me off as a scientist unless I could explain something vastly more complex than consciousness or energy, the nature of God Himself." "Tell me," John Reynolds said, "why do you believe in consciousness and energy, even though you don't understand what they are?" And this was his answer, the other guy. "Well, I suppose it's because these concepts make sense," meaning consciousness and energy. "It makes sense to me. They have a kind of explanatory power, and you don't have to understand them completely in order to use them to understand everything about God. You don't, right? Neither do I, actually. But we know enough to say we want to accept God. And this is the anchoring final sentence and retort by John Lennox. He says, well, precisely, and that is why I believe that Jesus was both man and God. John Lennox, the smartest scientist I know, he says, I cannot explain why Jesus is both man and God. I cannot explain it. By definition, it must be one of the most difficult of anything to explain. Far more difficult than consciousness or energy. But I believe it because it makes sense of everything else. It is the only interpretation that adequately accounts for the birth of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. Isn't that beautiful? Phyllis, do you know everything? I ask you what's consciousness, you can't even, some people say according to this, according to, I ask you on the according. I ask Owen what is energy. Owen may turn energy, what, MC square, is it? The only thing MC I know is Management Corporation. MC, I don't even remember, mass times what? C for what? I don't even know, I can't remember, MC square. But that is not it, that's an equation. What is energy? You don't know. You don't know how to explain properly why Jesus is both man and God. John Lennox cannot explain it, but I believe it because it makes sense of everything else. As you weave in the life of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the death, the resurrection, and ascension. I'm going to test Gun. Gun, this is from the book that we all bought. Have you finished reading this book? Don't ask Silas. I can tell you, Silas, today not here in London, I will whack him. Silas confirmed never finished the book. He read halfway, I think he will sleep. But I keep reading until I get something. But as we come before the Lord, I think it's about, back to the simple, what is consciousness? It's about being conscious of something. I always tell people, good lawyers are, Michael, I'm a lawyer. Can't tell, right? Do I look like a lawyer, do you? I'm a lawyer, don't bluff. I see you, son. Any question next time, look for me. But as we lawyers have something in our minds, you always go back to definition. And I want to give you a definition, a simple one. I always say, go to the secular dictionary and you'll be able to find out the definition. Leon, the definition is a person's awareness or perception. The fact that Joey is getting baptized. You are aware you have a perception. Your answer is yes. I asked you just now, do you believe Jesus, Son of God? You are conscious of Him. You can't explain everything away, but you say, yes, I accept Jesus as the Son of God. So when we talk about consciousness in our search for identity, knowing that we are all anchored on the identity on the basis that we know God, the definition in an Oxford of something. And just now I already started by telling you that conversation between the two brilliant men. I'll skip that slide. But as you go to the definition, it's something you're aware of, something you perceive, something you're aware of. But what is the point of consciousness? And I'll skip to the next one. What's the point of being conscious for something? And the other book that I bought that Gunn didn't buy, and this lady is another brilliant person from London. Her name is Sharon, can't even pronounce her name, Dirks, D-I-R-C-K-X. Brilliant lady. I think she's a neuroscientist, studies MRI imaging for brains. Her book is very good. The book title is called Am I Just My Brain? If I ask you, Sharon, are you just your brain? Yes or no? No, right? DG, are you just your brain? No. Malcolm, are you just Liverpool fan? Yes. Better say that. But what's the point of consciousness? Why are we wired so that we are conscious of something? And Sharon and I today, because we are running out of time, so I just shoot straight with you. Her point in this book is that there is the point of consciousness. What's the purpose of it? So that we can know God. Am I just my brain, Winston? Are you? Or is there something more? Next slide. Why do we have reliable cognitive faculties in the first place? All of us are wired to think, right? We're able to think of something. Why? Her answer is the very existence of a trustworthy mind makes more sense If Dawn and Jolene, you make a conscious effort to be married, to have kids, to buy a house, a two-bedroom, move out to three-bedroom, and then next time do this, send this child to whatever university, blah, blah, blah. Why do you do what you do? The very existence of a trustworthy mind makes more sense. Jolene and Dawn makes more sense if they have a mind, if there is some supreme being that's overseeing the creative process. Unless you think that one fine day, bang, the two of you just came out. Or if you think that actually your great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather was an ape. If you have reliable cognitive faculties, why do you have it in the first place? God gave you a consciousness with a purpose. You're conscious. I went for a field trip to Tanzania and with Kenya with my kids, safari 2019. What a wonderful trip. If you see a lion eat, what do they eat over there in Africa? The lions will... After eating the zebra, will the lion turn back and say, "Wow, I have sinned. I ate a zebra." There's no concept of sin to the animals. But we have. If Dawn does something wrong, there's a consciousness, if he walks right God, that gnaws at him and tells him, "Dawn, knock, knock, knock. Are you there? Are you just your brain, or there's something else more than the brain that tells you, Dawn, what you did was not right?" Are you with me? We are conscious. We are rational beings for a reason. The lion eat already, just carry on eating the next zebra. No? You want me to baptize a lion? No point. The lion don't even say, put out there, nothing. Nothing happens. But with a human being, there is a conscious mind that allows us to know what God wants us to know, which is why we are one level above the animals, which is why Genesis talks about the fact that God allowed us to what? God brought the animals, and I think Hong Yi talked about it, right? Who names the animals? Not God. Who names? It was Dawn, the man. We got to name this one, Kama, this one, okay, lion, this one called chimpanzee, this one called whatever. It is all God's desire that we have a conscious, rational mind and we're able to do the things that God wants us to do. What's the point of consciousness? So that we can know God. Are you just your brain? I think the answer is no. I like this. The next quote from Sharon. If a conscious, rational being underpins the cosmos, the universe, then we have grounds for making sense of cognition, how we are able to think, how we're able to just rationalize things. Our cognitive faculties can be reliable because God exists. This one, I remember her saying it because I went in 2019, God. She was prefacing the book, and then sometimes, you know, when they speak, they talk about the book, right? But this one really caught my eye. And Leon, I want you to flesh it out, please. She says, perhaps we are wired for God because God exists. She compares our ability to think like a radio. Our cognitive faculties are like a radio. Understanding how a radio works doesn't answer... If you understand how a radio works, Royston, it doesn't answer the question of whether there's someone broadcasting. You just know a radio works, but you don't know whether there's someone broadcasting, right? So if now today, June knows how the radio works, turn the radio fusion later, it's all gone to see, and then you play the radio. So what? It just tells you it's a radio, but it doesn't answer the question of whether there's someone out there broadcasting. It also doesn't answer the question of whether it's good or bad to listen to it. Just because your faculties like radio, it doesn't tell you whether it's good or bad. Why do you want to listen to radio? Is it good or bad for you? You don't know. What it does tell us is that the radio is capable of picking up signals. You have a brain, you have a mind, you can pick up signals, right? And remember this, although it was 3 years ago, she said, perhaps this wiring exists for us to receive signal because God wired us with a natural tendency to connect with Him. You're wired to listen to God. The lion is not. The chimpanzee also not. We're wired to be able to receive that signal from God. And we're able to then commune with Him. That will tell us how, as you're conscious of God, we're in Christ. I'll flash some of them. Romans 8, 9, the next slide, please. Thank you. Romans 8, 9 says, you're however not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Which is why when Winston and Joey came, we asked, I said, we pray for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Guys, be very clear. If in fact you are however not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm not adding to the Word of God, but I'm also not subtracting. I've got a question for you. If you do not have the Spirit of God indwelling within you, do you belong to God? What does the Bible say? No. So people come to me and say, teacher come to me and say, I'm a believer, I believe in God. But when you ask them, do you have the Spirit of Christ? Do you know the Spirit of God? You say you don't know. You don't belong to Him. Are you with me? Romans 8, 9 says that anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God. And how do you have the Spirit of God? When you're conscious and you're Spirit-filled and you're walking with Him. You're conscious. You're in Christ. If the Spirit of Christ, next slide. If the Spirit of Christ indwells within you, if I remember you, you are a good helper. Make sure you stay and serve the family well. Get it? And pray for your family. You know? They're your family here. You stay where? India, right? Right? But your family in Singapore is this family. You make sure you serve them well, and I'll look after you. You understand? If the Spirit of Christ indwells within you, in your soul, mind, heart, affecting your decisions, desires, in the inner recess of your conscience, when you're conscious, you are operating on your conscience, right? If your inner recesses, the Spirit of Christ indwells in you, in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, and affects, the Spirit of Christ affects your decisions, when to buy a house, when not to buy a house, when Gun leaves the job, which job to take. It affects your decisions, your desires in the inner recesses of your conscience when you're conscious. That's quite different from saying, I'll do my best to be a Christian. Am I making sense to you? It is much better to be Spirit-filled, to be conscious, and to walk in His consciousness, right? Than to say, oh, you know, Christopher or Jonathan or Cindy say, I will try my best to be a good Christian. It's a difference. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't try to be a good Christian. There's a place for that. But if you are conscious of God and you walk with Him, you're always communing with Him. Easier. Whatever He says, you just do. Affects your desire, affect your decisions. Anything you do is God tell you, you do. Isn't that better? That's far better than saying, Joey, I'm not baptized, I want to be a good Christian. Are you following me? If you allow God, the consciousness of God, to just permeate you and your spirit fill, it's a different ball game altogether. Psalm 16:8, the Lord is my... Leon, next slide, please. Thank you. The Lord is my right hand, is at my right hand, therefore I'll not be shaken. When you are in Christ, you're conscious of Him. Where is God now? Sharon, where is God? The Lord is at your right hand. Therefore, glory. Revelations, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Gan and I, he talked about it with this picture we saw at this cathedral, right? The Revelations 3:20 cathedral, the book. It was the picture. I should have flashed it, but I don't have it today. Jesus was knocking at the door. Don, Jesus knocking at the door is a pictorial of 3:20. But guess what? The door had no handle. Right? There's no handle. He's not going to try to open it or whatever. There's no handle to the door. So that decision, he comes and knocks at the door. He will come in, but you've got to allow him to come in. But when he comes in, 3:20 says, if anyone hears my voice, who opens the door? Wow, it's a revelation to me. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Question, who opens the door? Owen? Owen opened the door or Jesus? Owen opens the door. The choice is yours. But if Owen hears the voice of God and opens the door, what does Jesus say? What does he do? I will come in to Owen. Next, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, and just now I remember, I don't know who is it, I think Winston, I said, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. I think I prayed for you. You are a new creation. You are. I'm telling you now, receive it in your spirit, because now the spirit is in you, right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. who live. Who lives in me? But Christ who lives in me. Lives in me, right? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. 1 John 4:4, all of us know this. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is he, big capital H, who is in me, Joey, in you, than he who is in the world. That one, small H. But the one, the big H, is in us. What does in Christ mean? In Christ means to be, it's a state of being. I thought about it. All the C's will come out. When you are in Christ, it is a state of being constant, conscious connection. You're constantly, consciously being connected to God. Constant, all the time. God is with you all the time, Winston. There's no like, oh, today I'm just thinking about things, I know you think about God, no. But you are conscious of God all the time. It is a constant interaction with him. And when you're constantly, consciously connected to him, your spirit fills, isn't it? You're walking with God. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said this, rarely do I pray for more than 5 minutes. I thought, wow, this man, isn't he a wonderful man of God? He says, I think it's this quote was attributed to him. Rarely pray for more than 5 minutes, but I also rarely go for 5 minutes without prayer. Does it make sense? Sometimes no need to pray very long. Remember the book of Nehemiah we just finished about? Remember me with favor, O God. You come to God and you say to God, I pray all. I am always listening to him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that being in Christ, being conscious? Your state of being conscious of him. You don't have to pray 20 minutes. I mean, can you imagine if you're going for a meeting, Ivy, now perm staff, right, bank meeting, oh, sorry, I need a meeting. Can you all wait for me? I go to the toilet, I pray 20 minutes, I come back and give you the answer. It will not happen, you know. No one's going to wait for you, right? You probably come back and there's no job left for you. But one, you are always doing something, you're interacting with God and you're conscious of him. You rarely pray for more than 5 minutes, but you rarely go for 5 minutes without prayer. You can always be praying where you are. Who says prayer needs to, I pray. I mean, if I'm in court, I'm constantly don't know what to say. And because someone throws something, I say, God, can you tell me what to say? And I receive thoughts. No, the radio signal very strong, you understand? Whereas you got no radio signal, kapoof. Got radio, so no use. But when you are teaching or when you're interacting with someone, God will give you the answers, isn't it? God will provide you the answers so they're able to process and you articulate the answer. But that's also being in a prayerful mode, right? So rarely pray for more than 5 minutes, rarely pray for more than 5 minutes, but rarely go for 5 minutes without prayer. It is being in Christ is a state of being, right? Just like I said, it's a state of being. Constantly, consciously connecting him, but it is a relationship. It's a living relationship. How's your relationship with God? Are you spending time with him? Do you like say, okay, guys, enough. I watched Liverpool lose 6-0 to Man City already. Now I want to spend time with God. Oh no, better still, spend time with God first before you watch. Always put God first. Always spend that time with him. Always have that living relationship. Isn't that the same thing that should govern even husband and wife? A living relationship, not a dead one. I do divorces, not that I do divorces. I hate doing divorces, but when they come to me, half the time, separate rooms, don't talk to each other. Talk to each other, send email. I got a friend, no names mentioned. Talk to the wife, send email. Not talk, send email. Want to talk to me? Send email. Talk to me, send email. They could be just 5 meters away, but send email. We are integrated physical and spiritual beings. When we are conscious of God, I'm not telling you to be flighty and therefore go around and then float like a free spirit and then, you know, you don't know what God is talking, you don't talk to people and then you're saying, okay, God, I'm talking to God, my antenna is ready, don't come disturb me, not that. But we are integrated physical and spiritual beings, always looking to God, always talking to him. Is it just enough to go before God? If Madam Chua were to come today and say, I invite her and say, just ask Jesus into your heart, invite her, Jesus, into your life, repeat this prayer after me and you'll be safe. Is that it? Will you be safe just because you say a sinner's prayer? I've even asked Winston, will you be safe just because you got baptized today? Or is there more to it? Are you a follower of Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Or are you an unconverted believer? It's possible to be a believer, but you're not converted. Or are you someone who follows Christ? When you follow Christ, you're listening to Him, you're conscious of Him, you're always doing what He bids you to do. Whereas if you are a believer, actually you may not know what you're doing. You're unconverted. Your whole heart, another sea, you're not converted. There's no conversion, there's no conviction. Turn with me to Matthew 7, 21, 23. I'll quickly just go through. Matthew 27, 21 to 23. Have your Bibles open. 7, 21, 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, 7, 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do us the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. These people did the work of God, didn't they? They prophesied in God's name, they drove out demons, and they performed miracles. Away from me, evildoer. So what is it that makes a distinction between someone who does that and someone who also does that? What's the difference between one that is God recognizes and the other one that God doesn't recognize? The one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So 7:21-23 tells you, be careful when you're conscious of God, what do you do? When you're conscious of God, Clarissa, you will do the work of the Father. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who enters the kingdom of heaven? The one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So how do you do the will of the Father in heaven? You're conscious of Him. Whenever He tells you to do something, you do. Otherwise, the Word of God says here, many do it, they prophesy, they do this, do that, but God, at the day of judgment, won't recognize the person. Why? Because that person, although seemingly doing good things, they were not doing the will of God. So how do you do the will of God? Be conscious of Him. What He tells you to do, you do. Through the narrow gates, same chapter, will you please read? Enter through the narrow gates, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and the narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's a warning to all of us, isn't it? The road that leads to destruction, verse 13. What road is this? What are the characteristics of the road? It is very wide. It is very broad. The only reason why I'm staying in the neighborhood that I'm staying now is because when I look there, I say, oh, this road very broad, very nice. The car very easy to park. I got a friend who bought a place, a little landed inter-terrace, and then outside the road is two. Have you seen those roads? Very, very tight, and then dress. Very narrow. Very wide. Of course, I buy the wide one. Right? Wide road. Wide is the gate. Broad is the road. But guess what? That is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter that road. The road that is broad, is wide, easy to enter. What is the road that you want to be on? The small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. The gate that is small, the road that is narrow, the road that you have to really get it right before you enter. Those are the gates. Those are the roads that you want to enter. And the Word of God says, only a few will find it. Are we conscious of God so that we're able to just come before Him? Are we a follower of Christ so that when the will of God is made clear to you, Matthew 7, 21, 23 says, not everyone who says to me, but the one who does the will. Are we the ones who will do the will of God so that we're able to do the work of His kingdom? Ecclesiastes 3:31 says, He has yet at the same time set eternity in the human heart. That's a very good undergirding verse. So that all of us will know that if you're conscious of God, there's something that tells you that this is not home. Ivy, this is not home. What are you here on earth? Are you a citizen on earth, alien in heaven, or are you an alien on earth, citizen in heaven? We are what? Aliens on earth. We are here just for a brief moment. And for those who have not known Christ, I want to tell you how many more years we have. Apparently, the stats now tell me that the life dependency, the life expectancy started to drop. Maybe because of COVID and then some mental health. Men live until 81, women live until 85, average 83. But for the first time in quite a long time, the life expectancy is starting to drop. How many more years do you have? 81, if I'm 55, I got 26 more years. If you are 40, you're supposed to live for 85, you got 45. But that's only the national average. A couple of days back from my previous church, I heard of a pastor who went in for a 4-hour open heart surgery. Efforts of regaining some consciousness. Grabbed the hand of the family members. I had a chance to speak to family members, but didn't make it. You never really know when your time is going to go, isn't it? But I think he's up there looking at us and looking at his family, smiling at us. But I want to say to you, Ecclesiastes 3:1 is right. God has put the element and the thought and the ethos and the value and the notion of there being an eternity within our spirit. He has also set eternity in the human heart. We know. We all know, Sharon. Don't you know? With the climatic change, blah, 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 we will go someday, right? But we go to a better place. No more sorrow, no more sickness, able to do the things. If you're just your brain, I suggest to you, then you're made only for this world. You're not aliens on earth, citizens of heaven. If you're just your brain. If you're just your brain, you won't think of eternity. You understand? If you're just your brain, you just do and hopefully earn as much money as you can, think that you're alive at 80, therefore save enough and then pass it to your son. Live some inheritance. If you're just your brain, you will only do those things that will last you up to the end of this world, isn't it? You don't have to do more. If you just think of it and there's no eternity, you know what you do? You just plan 20 years. Plan so long for what? After you're going to die. And you also don't know where you're going. But we know. We are conscious of the fact that we've earned eternity in our hearts. We are not aliens. We are aliens on earth and citizens of heaven. John Lennox in his book said this, God the Creator, we did not put the universe there. We did not create the objects. As a scientist, he says, I only study the things given to me. Make sense? He's a scientist. He didn't create the lion. He didn't create anything. The things were inherited. The universe was placed before us. And as a scientist, what do you do? You study the universe. God is the one that created. He did not put the universe there. John Lennox. He did not create the objects. As a scientist, given the privilege, studying something given to us. John Lennox's wedding was done by some man. It was in his book. This man did his wedding. He's been married for many years already. John Lennox about in his 80s. This man who did his wedding was someone that became a Christian. And he became a Christian, his life took on a markedly different character. This guy went back to school as an adult and sat with the children to try to catch up with his education. He had a prodigious memory, able to develop an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible, able to remember, which he then used to great effect in communicating the Christian faith to everyone from shipyard workers to Cambridge students, all of whom loved him for his directness and honesty. So the person that did John Lennox's wedding was Stan Ford. In his wedding address for John Lennox, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stan was no scientist, though he respected learning. But the point he made that day reverberated powerfully through the marriage life of John Lennox. It was based on the first four words of the text. The first verse of the text is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I think he had a some cup or something, and he showed some materials. John Lennox married 50 years ago, perhaps. The person who just talked about it gave the sermon and during the wedding service. I attended one in the Isn't that what it was? Our identity? In the beginning, God. Nothing else. Once you talk about this, you think about it, in the beginning, God, then the rest of the things follow. Isn't it? In the beginning, God, then he created light, day, land. But guess what? The only person, the only entity, the only, not organization, the only being that looks like him, as the image of him is. God didn't make the land look like him, didn't like make the clouds and then the clouds can see his face, nothing. Madam Chua, the only being, in the beginning God, but the only being that bears a resemblance, an image, is you and I. As we're conscious of him, as we go on in our lives, we remember our identity before him. I had a sister recently who had to go through some procedures. I don't know why, but something told me to just reach out to her. So I wrote to her. I said, "Dear sister, prompted suddenly to reach out to you as I spent some time preparing for the messages in October." That was about a few months back. I said, "Of mindful of what you told me last week, I said, the Lord is with you." This is what I said. I'm reading my WhatsApp message. "The Lord is with you," I told the sister. "Be conscious of his presence. Whatever you need to go through is right beside you." And the reply from the sister was, "Thank you." If you're conscious of God, what will happen is this. When God wants you to encourage someone to do something, he will tell you, right? And because you are the one that wants to be the one that does the will of God, remember, read Matthew 7, you will do his will. He tells you to do, you just do. Sometimes it's a very simple thing, Don. It is just sending a message. God tells you to send a message, send. If God tells Jolene, go and buy something for Daniel to eat because there's no one around the house, you go and buy. You don't think so much. You just send. But as I send that, the lady came back and said, "Thanks for the timely word. It was a word in season." But that presupposes a few things. Number one, we are all conscious beings, knowing our identity, knowing that we made a splitting image of God, in the beginning God, knowing his image, and so whenever God wants us to do something, we will do it. And when we do it, his timing is uncanny. Of all times I sent that thing, and that lady said, this is the first time someone reached out to me. And that, I thought, was a blessing. So can I encourage you, as we start and embark and continue this series of identity, come before the Lord and believe him. Know your identity in Christ, even as I asked Esther to come up. Know your identity in Christ, but believe him. Be conscious. Be always constantly connecting with him, interacting with him. Apart from the Spirit of God, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't connect with him, you do not belong to him. That's the word of God in Romans 8, 9. Be conscious of him. In Christ alone, you place your trust and you do the work of his kingdom. Let us pray.
I want to give thanks to you. Lord, today we come before you making a decision to be conscious of Christ. To be conscious of what you have done on the cross. To be conscious of the grace you have shown, that by believing in you, we are called new creation. Today, as we come before you, we come with struggles. We come with things that entangles us. But Lord, today we surrender all this to you. And we make you to be our focal point in our life again. Brothers and sisters, if you're ready, I'd like to invite us to stand up in a posture of surrendering.
My trust. In Christ alone, in Christ alone, I place my trust, I place my trust, and find my power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength. As Esther continues to play, you know, I just feel like some of us, we feel like in our lives, there are defeats. You don't see the victory yet because God's timing is His timing. But as the Lord has set eternity in our hearts, you know, whatever you're going through is but for a spell. It won't last long. You have eternity. Eternity doesn't last long. Eternity lasts forever. So whatever you're going through, I ask you to just come before the Lord with your hands as we just spend a couple minutes of time today. Get it right with God so that seeming defeat actually is masqueraded. It is actually a victory. You've got to get it right in your spirit because your spirit through, you're conscious that God is a God that loves you. So no one leaves this place thinking that you're deflated or defeated because that is not the theology of God. God loves you enough that He sent His Son to die for you. So get it right. Whatever defeats you have, be it in studies or in your physical condition or what you may have at home, and your colleagues, God gives victory in Jesus' name. So as our Esther continues to play, will you just spend this precious couple of minutes with God and speak to Him? And then we'll end by singing this song once again. If anyone hears my voice and open, will you open the door so that the Lord can come in once again? Join us. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. Every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope in Christ. In Christ alone. to be said of me, my source of strength. One more time, last time, in Christ alone, in Christ alone, I place my trust, I place my trust. Glory in the power of my source of hope is Christ alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you bring this end, this service to an end, will you raise your hands before the Lord? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Lord, Romans 8:9 says, to my brother and sister, anyone, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So Lord, Spirit of God, we welcome you. Dwell in the hearts and the spirit of men. Bless them. Invigorate them, encourage them, refresh them, so that, Lord, they will do the work of the kingdom. Bless them. Every victory, they know it is the Lord. So I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Walk in faith, do His work as He blesses you day after day, month after month, until that eternity that He set for you. You see Him face to face. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. You're dismissed. See you next week. God bless you.